Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hi, everybody. So this is our last podcast of 2020, which is amazing that we've made it this far. I'm so glad 2020 is going to end.
Today, we're going to talk about letting go. Let's all just dump 2020 into the trash.
I was going to pop into song, but I won't.
You know, we've talked about being a grudge holder.
Yeah.
And you,
and you said you weren't.
I know. This is what this podcast is about. Am I? Am I actually a grudge holder and I pretend like I don't want to be when I'm actually...
And you've actually accepted it?
Letting go. Is it about grudges?
I would say like a small part is about grudges.
Okay.
The larger part of it, like of the larger piece of the pie, I guess, about letting go of all the crap that I feel holds me back. And that's just emotional baggage.
So we have to differentiate because we did a podcast on I Can't Get Over the Past. And mm-hmm. a lot of that was on processing and letting go of really hardcore past trauma.
Yeah.
To differentiate that podcast from this podcast, we're obviously talking about the mind trick still.
Yes.
But you know how you get in a habit that makes you a grudge holder or not, where you get stuck in your head?
Man, you're going to make me do some real work, Teresa.
Well, if it's the end, let's go with a bang.
Okay.
I think that's how we have to differentiate this, right? Because it's like, it's not just letting go of big things. It's because we did that, and that's important. But to me, letting go is about everyday practice. So I don't become an even more chronic grudge holder than I am, or whether or not I even am.
Okay.
So let's start there. Like when you say you're a grudge holder, why do you even say that?
Okay. let me pop in this context. Okay. I have good memories. Good, I mean clear and distinct memories of times when somebody has acted a certain way, said a certain thing, and my emotions tied to that, where oftentimes I was hurt by it, angered by it. Maybe they have said, I'm going to do better. And then I trust that. Mm. And then the situation comes up again and it like smacks me in the head and I'm like, damn it.
That's so interesting because you're tying emotionally your concept of letting go with your own safety and protection and protecting yourself. Because that is not – I want to talk about that, but that's not what I think about when letting go. So we're so on point with our personalities. Like when I think of letting go, I think of anxiety. I think of – how long I get stuck in my brain ruminating about the little stuff until I can just let it go and move on to give zero F's about something instead of caring about it so much.
I do that too, but I think because of the description of how you feel that anxiety, it's not so tied to me to anxiety. It's more tied to my inability to not process that information well enough to like comb through it, deal with it, and be like, okay, I'm done with it, and I move on. Which is a little different, right, than where you are like sitting in it and you're just like, I don't even want to comb through this. I'm just going to sit here because this is just what it's going to be.
Let's go. Let's do both sides. Let's start with you. So grudge holding is so not letting go is about protecting yourself. Well, that makes a lot of sense.
You're right. It is completely tied to feeling protected and feeling safe in the space that I've created. Because if I allow you to enter my space again with the possibility that you're going to hurt me.
Yeah.
And you've already shown me that you've hurt me. And it's like, oh, man, I'm not going to be an idiot. That's how I feel.
You know what that reminds me of? This, I'm trying to image this experience, and it reminds me of how when you're freed up and you're not feeling anxiety about being hurt, you're really letting go. You're like, you're living life. You're freed from the worry, and you are just embracing the possibilities, which includes accepting love and accepting pain if it comes. Mm-hmm. And that's really freaking scary. It's scary for me to think about what it means to let go if my letting go is in the context of safety.
Okay. So the other day, my fiance and I were having a conversation, and he said, if you decided to let go of this, then you have to be at peace with it and let it go. And then I was like, what do you mean? I don't know what you mean. And then like, it freaked me out. Like my body tensed up and I was like, what? You mean I have to like let it go? And then, you know, when you're talking to me, what I feel is some anxiety tied to like, that means I'm going to have to let go of this protective factor. And then this other feeling of being like, if you could pop all these unwanted emotions into balloons and just let go of the string, they're not there anymore. They just go away.
I know.
And the freedom to like fill that space with other stuff. I'm like, huh? It's so
this
uncomfortable.
This whole conversation is making me so uncomfortable.
Me
right
too. That's so hilarious.
And it makes so much sense, because letting go is the opposite of trying to maintain control. Mm-hmm. And trying to maintain control is what we all do to be safe. Hmm. I don't think it's right to say, look, you are letting go, you are being free. You can do that in moments, right? It's healthy to have freedom and let go in moments, but no one is just freed up. That doesn't exist. We have anxieties. We need security. The fact that we would even talk about this and then freak out as much as we are makes me think that is not the goal. The goal is not to be like, which character is just happy-go-lucky? Tigger, who's practically manic? Yeah. Okay, we all can't be manic all the time. That's not how our brains work. We're operated to be calibrating, I think, safety. So where for you does letting go or not letting go get in the way of you living the life you want to live?
Oh, man, that's a deep question, Teresa.
I'm gonna have to think about it myself.
This year has taught me, or at least has pushed me to visibly see how this impacts my life, where I will have higher rates of stress, and like it's ongoing stress, not just like, oh, this happened on Tuesday, and now it's like Monday through Sunday I feel stressed out, right?
Yeah.
So it's visible in that way. It also deteriorates my ability to communicate well with the people in my life. And I think that's where the most impact is felt. Because then I feel like crap that I can't actually progress. So I feel like I'm backstepping.
Let's start with that first thing, the physical aspect. You know how you're holding on to something and the tension and you're just tense and you take a really big breath? Mm-hmm. I feel like we think about letting go as this major decision, but we let go in little ways. And your comment about just how much stress we hold in our shoulders and how that affects our bodies. And then you move to like communication and the way we treat others is all the little ways that not letting go affects our lives. It's so true.
Yeah. When you speak about that breath, you know, there's a whole like thing about breath work and using your breath to find a connection to like the environment around you, whatever. But what I have come to experience is that sometimes you're breathing. Of course you're breathing, but it's so secondary that you never actually take a deep breath. You don't step outside and take a deep breath of fresh air. Your shoulders are all hunched up, you know?
Yeah.
Your neck hurts. These are the things that happen to me. Like, and I'm consistently like moving my body like, God, why is my neck hurt, man? My back hurts.
Because I think that's a spectrum. I think that for a lot of us who don't let go, we do carry it in our bodies in really real, and you say, oh, taking deep breaths. Like, sometimes I think with mental illnesses, the opposite is true. I'm like, how long have I held my breath? Even breathed? You know, like, are you breathing today? Sometimes I'll catch myself being like, you know, just like, yeah, hold on, dude. Do you need to remember to convince yourself that breathing brings life? Like,
that's funny. I've never experienced that. I really experienced it on the other side where I'm just like, dude, breathe, like take a deep breath, like to feel that energy, like, you know, fill your lungs again and all that.
Yeah. That's why I have a hard time with yoga.
I like yoga. I do.
No, I like it. I like it. But I'm like starting first grade, you know?
Yeah.
I appreciate that we're talking about like a whole body experience, because I do think holding on to your junk is a whole body experience. And what you talked about, the second part, which is that it gets in the way of relationships and the irritation you feel. So like not letting go of junk and having all that crap on your table all the time, like that crap is heavy. And it's so true that when I have a lot of stress and I'm not letting little things go and I'm not letting go of the big things, and then suddenly I'm not letting go of the little things and I'm just carrying all that crap in my freaking backpack, my everyday backpack, and then I start picking up other people's crap, like forget it. Yeah. Because I'm just tired and impatient and irritable.
Do those things also happen to you, like breathing, communications? Is there anything outside of that that you also visibly can tell that is impacting your life because you're not letting go?
So if I'm picking up a bunch of junk, I'm more prone to get sick, like physically sick. Okay. My immune system's down. Sleep goes out the door.
You get headaches? I get headaches.
I get headaches. Mm-hmm. I don't just get headaches. I moved on to migraines, which is fun. And I also like am obsessed about the pain that I have because I hate the pain. So when I start to categorize like the front, I'm like, what kind of headache is it? Is it like in the front of my head? Is it in the back of my neck? Is my back, my shoulders, you know, and these are all signals. And then I've been pretty good about not biting my finger cuticles, but remember how I was like, oh, if I'm really holding on to stuff, I'll just start chewing the crap out of my hands. Yeah. And I have to like count the number of fingers that are bleeding.
I don't know if it's comforting to know. I think it is comforting to know that I'm not the only one that experiences these types of thoughts, because what you're talking about, sometimes I think like on a daily, I'd be like, dude, I have a headache. And I'm like, why do I have a headache? I just woke up. I have a headache. Like, explain to me why this is happening. Or I'll be like, oh, my back hurts or something else. And I will share this like with my friends and my family. And then they'd be like, oh, okay, it'll go away in a day. And I'm like, but it's hurting right now. Yeah. It's happening right now. And for them, they never mention those types of things. And I don't know if I'm the only one that's having these things happen to them, or just simply I'm the one that's talking about it.
You are the one that's talking about it. I think everybody holds on to stuff. We just don't. We have different things we hold on to and different – because we have different irritations. So we should talk about that. So we've talked about like how not letting go impacts you, but what's the stuff you hold on to? What's the stuff you put on your table or carry in your backpack?
Work stuff.
Like expectations, like things you're supposed to do, or like conflict?
Both, I think. I definitely think about things that I would want to do and that would like maybe like goals that I want to obtain at work. And then it's just a lot of work is required. So okay, it is so tied to expectation.
Let's narrow this down, because I think in the realm of various thoughts, thinking about your work and what you have to do, I think is fairly normal. But when you think of letting something go and you're like, oh, I got to let this go. When does that happen? Like for me, I'll start because I was thinking about it while I asked you a question. But like if I get hurt by someone who I did not expect to get hurt from, or I feel like they should know better. They should do better. I feel like I have a hard time letting that go, whether it's work or personal. Or if I think, so you know what? Letting go is tied to hurt for me, I think. Like, so when I say to myself, oh, you just got to let that go, it's almost always tied to hurt. And hurt is tied to safety. Like, you know how like sometimes you'll be sitting in the shower or at your desk and you say to yourself, oh, I just got to let that go. Like, I just got to let that go. What are those situations that get you to that spot more often than not? Like, do they have patterns?
I think they are definitely tied to feeling hurt, maybe not respected. You'll use me for other things, but you won't respect my opinion in this space.
Ooh, like, that's so interesting. You're right. So it's like I am hurt because I care about something. I have a value.
Yeah.
I value something, and the thing you're trying to attack makes me feel insecure because it's something I really care about. This is what I get in fights about with my partner. The biggest things I don't let go are my deepest fears. We talked about this in couples therapy. I am afraid that I'm a bad parent and he's afraid that he'll be a bad husband. And so we get in a fight and we can't let go. Mm. And we want to fight and fight and fight and get the last word in. It's always because we feel attacked about this value thing.
Dude, okay. Remember I told you like had a breakthrough? What you just said? It's like, boom, it like hit me right there. Because I know that I've talked about this before, but this moment that happened a couple of weeks ago, it was like I saw light and I was like, oh my God, why have I not seen it like this? And so what it relates to is what you're saying.
Yeah, tell me about your breakthrough.
Okay. So we've talked about how like you have to let go of past traumas to move forward. I get all that. And, you know, we've done the work in some capacity or another, like to really talk about issues that are hurtful to us, traumatic to us. And one of the spaces that I really struggle with is like when my partner and I are arguing, I want us to hash it out right there and then, right? Mm. Where he's like, no, let's take some time to think about it. And even through couples counseling, right? It's like, you should. If you need a time, a space, you ask for a time and space, right? And you separate. And I've tried to do that. But then during this moment where we were just having a conversation and I was like, yeah, you know, we were talking about another situation that wasn't relevant to our specific, you know, relationship, but to somebody that we know. We were like, yeah, they really haven't thought about how this will impact things moving forward. Because if they don't talk about this, it's just going to live there. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, yeah, you're right, you know? And I was like, yeah, you know, like whenever, and he was like, what? And I just stopped. And he was like, what? What are you saying? And I was like, oh my God. And he was like, what's wrong with you? And then I was like, you know how when we're arguing about something and I just want to solve it right there and then, and I want us to like figure it out until we like break each other apart and then figure out. He's like, yeah, and when I'm asking you to like give me space, I'm like, yeah, that in those times, I was like, it's all tied to the fact that I think our relationship will fail because my previous marriage failed. And he's like, yeah, I understand that. I was like, no, you're not understanding what's happening right now. I said, I have tied every single negative moment about things not working to failure. So then it's all connected. And he was like, uh-huh. And then I just sat there and I was like, I really, you know, I have come to integrate that thought process. And whenever we struggle, yeah, it's tied to failure. And then I just started crying and he was like, oh my God, don't cry. And I was like, it's okay. This is not like hurt cry. This is hurt, like crying because I came to realize this huge thing.
Yeah. When I'm in therapy and there's a thing that I'm not letting go.
Yeah.
And it's always the thing that makes you kind of cry.
Yeah.
And makes you choky. And that failure word is right on point. It's like, what are you afraid you'll fail at?
Yeah.
It's the value. It's the thing you care about. It's the thing you're most scared of. It's the thing you can't let go.
Right.
That picks at you, picks at your safety, picks at your personhood. And it's so hard because I think when you think of failures, you're like, oh, I'll fail at this job. I'll fail at blah, blah, blah. But there are a lot, there are like deeper.
Yeah.
They're tied to hurt, like a bigger hurt. And it's hard to sometimes understand what it is you're really afraid of failing at until you're living through it and you're getting in these fights in your relationships.
Yeah. I think it is easy to find tangible things that we believe we can fail at. Like, oh, I want to lose 10 pounds.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to try. I mean, what's the point? I'm not going to lose 10 pounds. I'm going to do X thing. So you attach it to some sort of goal, expectation, or whatever. Yeah. But if you don't really understand the depth of that fear that you have that's tied to it and your emotion and prepare for some aspects of failure, then you're kind of building yourself up for your own self to be like, eh, squished, forget it. You don't have any value. So you're like repeating that cycle.
So it's interesting because let's talk about your failure. Is your fear of failure like, I'm afraid my marriage will fail? Or is it because for my husband, it's tied to marriage too, but his specific fear is I know he's afraid of failure of marriage, but I can't remember if he said, I'm afraid I'll be a bad husband, which I think is the bigger fear than I'm afraid my marriage will fail, because he gets in fights with me when he thinks I'm attacking him as a husband. And I get mad or have a hard time when I feel like he's attacking me as a mother. So like for you, is it being a wife or is it your marriage in general? And like,
no, it's characteristics
neither of the marriage. Yeah. Okay. Tell me, what is it?
That I suck at just being a person.
Jesus.
Like that I'm not a nice person, you know, like.
Oh, you're broken? Can't be in a relationship with you?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. That's what it is. I'm broken. I'm so effed up that there's no way to work around it. And dude, those are like my deepest fears, right? And
I feel like a lot of people relate to that.
I don't want to freaking cry.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I've had those thoughts in my life. I think a lot of people relate to that fear of I'm broken. I'm used goods. I'm not worthy of love or a good relationship.
Yeah. And I've not done enough work to explore that. And then there's another part of me that tries to counteract it and be like, no, you are. You are a good person. That line is so easily blurred for me that whenever there's a personal attack, I'm like, oh, okay, then yeah, I do suck as a person. I just suck. Like, who's gonna have a conversation with me? Nobody.
I didn't know you had these thoughts, America. You put a good face forward.
Well, I mean, these are the things that, you know, I have to learn how to process and let go of. Like, I'm still learning. I think it helps that my partner is somebody that again and again, like despite all the crap that, you know, I may argue with or whatever, he comes back and he's like, I love you.
Yeah.
I love you. And I'm like, do you really?
Yeah.
That's like automatic.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, America, you gotta be better.
Suddenly we're talking about these big pains and these big things, even though we know that the practice is also small and sometimes it's like letting go. But do you think that knowing that your issue or your thought, the letting go thing, is tied to your I'm a worthy person, like I'm
self-worth,
I'm broken, do you think you'll be able to catch it more often now?
I am better at doing that now, but that is why I am very mindful of who I allow into my life.
I feel like our roles are reversed a little bit. Normally I'm talking about what a hot mess my life is. And that, I'm not saying that your life is like a hot mess, but I'm saying in this situation, like what you're telling me, I struggled with so hard from 12 years old to 30 years old. Mm. Right. And it's so interesting to have a situation where somebody's struggling with something. I'm like looking back in my life, I'm like, wow, like I really relate to what you're saying, but I relate to it as like a distant memory, which makes me realize how far I've come.
That's awesome.
I mean, it's really funny because 2 years ago when we started this podcast, remember, I was like, I'm still struggling with this like loving myself thing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't go away, you know?
Yeah.
And loving yourself is part of that whole spectrum, I think, of it starting with brokenness and like worthiness and following some kind of traumatic experience, right? Like I'm just one additional trauma away from kind of slipping back into that space. I'm not like, oh, I'm over it. I'm just lucky this year, these last couple years, that's not come back up in my head. I just think that the core security a lot of us want to believe is tied to our worth and our worthiness. And that makes sense that that's where we're going to get stuck. And that's where letting go gets hard because you're feeling attacked.
I think there's also another component to it, though, where part of it is tied to, like, I've done some of the work that, and oh, dude, not some, I did a lot of work when I ended up getting divorced and everything, and really thinking about me as an individual outside of me being with somebody. And then I was like, and I did a lot of work in that time to be like, who are you? What defines you? What are the values that you want to have and things like that? And reconnected back to things that I kind of let go to the wayside. So now I continue to struggle with all those issues, and they come up when I am at my lowest, when I'm angry, when I'm in a negative space. That little monster on your shoulder is like, oh, you thought you forgot? No, this is how it is, you know?
Yeah.
So it is about like reframing again and trying to be like, okay, I know this is how I feel. I felt this before. I'm going to try to process it differently. And ultimately, learning how to let that negative little monster, like, I'm going to brush you off my shoulder and get away from you and let that go so it doesn't eat at me.
That is the best description of what the letting go process looks like, I think. Getting over the past is the interpersonal part. We talked about, like, you can't get over your past until you have resolution, until something happens to make you feel heard, or like there's something that bothers you, right? Like, letting go is different than that because it is that little guy on our shoulder. It's like the thing you experienced brought that little person on your shoulder as a safety mechanism to warn you about future. And he's great because he keeps you safe, but also he sucks, or she sucks, or they suck. And so you're like, when am I going to let you chill out with me? And when should I flick you off?
Yeah.
And how long am I going to let you sit there and freaking bug me and basically steal me away from relationships and being present, like not freed up? Like, I know we talked about that, you know, feeling free and blah, 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 but I don't think it's freedom I think we're looking for. I think what we're looking for is being here, like aware of present. What we're present, right? Like being present in the moment instead of in our heads.
I hope if people have been listening to us for a while, they know that I'm a very like visual person, and all that I see in my head is like, I know not everybody, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. And at some point, our little negative people that are sitting on our shoulders and all that little stuff connects to the other negative. And it's like, you okay? I accept you as you are. I got my own crap here. And in the end, that's where we're letting them, you know, go away together, because we're just going to accept it as it is today in this moment, how you're talking about being present. Because otherwise, it's like we're so easily pulled down with the weight of it, and it's physical, emotional weight, that you're like dragging this freaking thing afterwards. You know, it's not this little thing on your shoulder anymore. It's like this freaking load of crap. And you're just like, dude, let it go. Just open your hand and it's gone.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work, Teresa, for the end of the year, okay?
I think we only honestly like tackled it a little bit because we did not get into You know how people pick up problems? So I don't just let go of the problems I already have in my plate. I'm gonna go pick up other people's problems.
You did kind of where you said you pick up other little things. And, you know, I'll tell you one thing. I know sometimes I pick up other people's problems because it's easier to solve their problems than my own.
Hmm.
I can check that and be like, hey, I can help you with this because I've been through that. And look, I got a whole list of stuff that you can try.
Nice.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
While we end this session, what do you want to let go of in 2020?
I do want to let go of being mad at people. So I was listening to a podcast and they were talking about rage and feeling just enraged by people. And I realized how much my news habits and my desire to look up stuff was me displacing anger from holding on to things in my personal relationships that I just projected into my Facebook or social media browsing habits. And I think I realized a couple weeks ago, I just want to feel less mad in general. I want to let go of anger.
I think that's a very good place to start, though.
And it's made me a different kind of negative person, because normally I'm a sad person and I'm an anxious person, but I've not really been an angry person. And in the last year, I've spent more time being angry. And no joke, my husband is like, you're always angry. And I was like, what's happening?
You know, we've spent a lot of 2020, I think, being angry collectively in different spaces. And I would say we know that it's easy to tap into anger. But I think the work that we've done together on the podcast, and hopefully, you know, our listeners are doing as well, it's trying to figure out where that anger comes from to then be able to work through it and move on and let it go. So I totally agree with you. But I would also add for myself, what I would want to let go of is expectations. I have a high level of expectation across all different aspects of my life and everything that has to do with it, family, work, all of it. And then this year was just like, oh, you had expectations of stuff was going to happen? I don't think so. And you had to adapt and modify. I think that's really, you know, something that I just learned. You kind of got to be more easygoing.
Yeah.
And just go with the flow a little better. And I'm trying, really trying.
I remember I ran a group of women and we all struggled with anxiety and trauma, and we adopted the honey badger as our
mascot. You love the honey badger.
I do, because he's the opposite of my brain. I have to be him.
Yeah.
So is the honey badger... He was also really funny and like sweet and hilarious while he ate snakes, you know? He wasn't like curmudgeon-y, like letting go. He was like, I'm just going to do what I want. I'm going to eat snakes. I'm going to walk backwards. Like, I feel like I need to reclaim some of that lightheartedness.
Yeah.
And that comes with the weight of expectations and the weight of anger and the weight of sadness. And so I really do hope as a country we can feel letting go means that we are lighter, that we're not so heavy, that we're not carrying around burden that takes us away from each other, and that we can return to a space where we can be good company, because we'll be able to be in company with each other again, hopefully.
Yeah.
So that's nice. This was a hard one, but I think it ended on a nice note.
Yeah, I think we have to do the work so that others know that, you know, we're actually doing the work. And we're living by the things that we say we want them to try to do as well. And part of that continues to be in our willingness to really just have open conversations. And I think, too, like, there's so much with any mental health journey that people are struggling with on their own, that even if for a moment you feel connected to somebody else, and if that's us in some way, that makes me feel really good. So I hope that people don't feel they're alone in their journey.
Yeah. So as we close the end of the year, we're going to just reach out digitally to all the people we love in our community. Keep on fighting. We're right there fighting with you.
Yeah. Take a deep breath, Teresa.
Remember to breathe.
All right, people. Check you in 2021. Bye.